Well, hello and welcome in again to Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harland. We are coming to you as always from the beautiful and majestic and historic B.B. McKinney Studios in the heart of the Music City, Mike.
You know what? Can I tease our audience just a little bit? Since we mentioned Brother B.B.
Yes.
We have coming, I'm going to tease, it's a tease, a big tease.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
But our friend Travis Cottrell has just done what I think is will be the definitive arrangement of one of B.B. McKinney's greatest hymns, and it's going to come out. When's it coming out?
You'd have to ask our creative director, Craig Adams, that question, but I'm thinking of all of the other arrangers who might be listening now.
If they give us something definitive, I'll tease their stuff too.
Okay.
But Travis did an arrangement of Wherever He Leads, I'll Go that I cannot wait for people to hear. B.B.'s music still lives and still has power.
Absolutely.
He's still our top CCLI songwriter, as a matter of fact.
He absolutely is, and that's a nice segue, Mike. Forgot to introduce myself. I'm Brian Brown, the co-host. We have a very special guest today, Mike, and a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Which is very important.
Yes.
And I'm going to let you introduce him, but we're going to talk today about a very important topic that a lot of worship pastors really struggle with, and that is copyright and copyright law and what's legal and all those kind of things. Copyright related to music in the church.
You know, I found, Brian, that churches want to do the right thing. When churches don't do the right thing, it's usually because they don't know what the right thing is. So this podcast, I think it's going to be a significant one that we're going to share over and over and over with pastors, music leaders of churches of all size.
Yes.
Because we're talking today, our guest is Howard Rachinsky, who is the founder of, I've just got to say it, Howard, we're welcoming him to the mic. I think probably one of the most significant contributors to the modern worship experience that most people may not have even thought about the impact, but CCLI, Christian Copyright Licensing International, I believe God has used this legal way to access content and for churches to use it and exploit it perhaps as much as any other thing that has impacted modern worship. So, Howard, welcome to our studios. We're thrilled to have you here.
Thanks,
today.
Mike. I can't believe we've known each other for 75 years. I mean, I'm surprised.
It's not been quite that long, but Hall of Famer is right, because just last year you were inducted into the Gospel Music Association Hall of Fame. I was
absolutely
there.
Incredible.
What a powerful night that was.
My. Yeah. You know, everybody thinks I'm a copyright priest. They come confess their copyright sins, and not true. But hopefully we'll be able to, in the midst of all the chaos, confusion, and calamity, we'll get some clarity to
this. And I just want to give a couple of things right off the bat that I want our audience to know before I start asking you a couple of questions. And that is what I have found in you, Howard, as a friend. We've been associated with each other now 12 years.
Yep.
And I've had the privilege of being on the advisory board of CCLI for, how long have I done that? 7 or 8 years, maybe?
At least.
And have seen the workings of that organization inside out. Today's not a commercial for CCLI. That's not what I want people to...
Oh, it isn't? Okay.
But I want to say that CCLI has been the organization that has come up with some creative ways to address copyright law and for the church. And I know this story a little bit, but give us the short version of why Howard, years ago, I guess in the early 80s perhaps.
That's correct,
When you began to think about churches and churches using songs, give us the history a little bit of how CCLI was born.
Well, make a short story long. I was a music minister in the 1980s, large church in Portland, Oregon, and 80 voice choir, 30-piece orchestra, writing, arranging, recording, producing. And back then, our church was pretty active with regard to worship music. We had 400 transparencies that we did. For those that don't know what a transparency is, it's a clear piece of plastic we wrote on, with the lyrics recording 60,000 tapes of our worship a year. And there was a lawsuit in 1984, and church diocese was sued $3.1 million for copying songs without permission.
Wow.
Well, that got our attention, because what was this all about? And ironically, one of the songs in the lawsuit was, "And They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love."
That's great.
And so I was finishing my first production and said, this isn't right. We're here serving together, worshiping God. What is this? So I just began to take a look. What's copyright? And began to study, got a blue book, copyright law handbook, and found out copyright law was fair, but it wasn't practical. How can a music director get permission for every one song I knew who owned it and contacted them? There were hundreds and thousands I couldn't even connect with. And it was frustrating. It was very frustrating to say, what do we do? And so we said, why don't we come up with a solution for the as the churches?
Yeah.
We got together some pastors, some music directors, and we came up with a permission of use to get permission ahead of time for the things we wanted to do in the church. And that was 1985. We started a prototype called Star Praise Ministries.
Yes.
And in 1988, it just blew way beyond a church.
Yeah.
Change it to CCLI, and the rest is history.
Wow. Well, now let me give you my backstory. I think I've told you this before, but I was serving my very first church after seminary. I had dabbled in songwriting, so I was interested in publishing, but I really hadn't accomplished much as a writer at that point, and maybe not at this point. But anyway, I remember getting a letter from this organization up somewhere that I'd never heard of, and I'm sure your name was at the bottom of it, and explaining what CCLI was all about and what the license would incorporate and all of that. And I remember I said it out loud. I told two or three people in the staff, this will never work. The publishers will never agree to this. And we don't need to sign up for one of these because 2 years from now, this won't exist. Boy, I was a prophet, wasn't I?
Oh, okay. Well, it was a good thing that you are.
Yeah, I'm glad I wasn't. We wouldn't be talking today. Yeah. Now, the interesting part of the story to me is, how did you build a coalition of publishers? Because as we know, publishers don't always partner together that well, because each publisher has their own interests, their own resources. They've got their own plan and strategy. You had to build a coalition of competitors in order for this to work. So give us a little bit of that story.
Well, the real key there was, as we began to make contact with the key publishers, to say, you know, there needs to be a solution. And we just began to meet with publishers individually. They wanted to know, well, who are you? What are you? And it was very important for a publisher to understand we are going to be Switzerland. We're neutral. We're going to be simply someone here to help serve the church and help serve you as a publisher. We want to respect your songs. And so I think it's because we were not competitive as far as being a song owner or a publisher, at least it got them to the table to say, well, what is this about? And it was several months where we simply were just traveling Nashville a lot and just around where every publishers were, and just to have them get to know us first. And finally, they took the risk to say, you know something? We know this needs to be done. It's frustrating for us. For every church that did call, there's thousands that weren't. And to process a permission was just unrealistic for a publisher.
Yeah.
So they said, we're willing to try this. And there was an organization that you're a member of, the Church Music Publishers Association. Mm-hmm. They came together with an ad hoc committee and said, let's work with Howard and CCLI and let's make this happen. And that's how it started.
Well, I want to also give you a CCLI effect that maybe you hadn't thought about much, but certainly the impact on the church, and I could talk forever about that, because when churches found a legal way to do this, they began expanding their repertoire beyond the hymnal.
Exactly.
So again, I'm not trying to overstate. I don't know another single development that affects the way churches do worship today any more than CCLI, because you enabled churches to legally get outside just the hardbound book. Not to say that the hardbound book's not important. Churches use both.
Yeah, exactly.
But it opened up a whole world of songs that has affected Christian music to the nth degree. And I want to bless you in that. But the second effect I see is, for the first time, publishers began to work together on a common interest. They had only competed and even disagreed and even would leverage their own copyrights against each other. And now, for the first time, through an organization like CMPA, which you're right, I'm part of, you're part of, a cooperation that has now gone into other aspects of publishing. So I've got to tell you, Howard, CCLI is a God thing. And I know you know that better than we do, but on behalf of all those churches out there who've been impacted and all those publishers that have been impacted, and we certainly talked about that this week, thank you, thank you. All right, so let's talk for a moment. I want you to pretend I'm a small church pastor. Mm-hmm. Tell me why I need a CCLI license.
I better know this, don't I?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at the core of it, I think that it is simply understanding that a song is an asset. it has ownership. Mm-hmm. It belongs to someone. And just like a car, I mean, you may have a need of to use a car, but because you see my car or find my car, it doesn't give you a right to be able to just use my car because you need it. A song has an asset, mm-hmm. is an asset. And as a result of that, to be able to utilize an asset is how do we get permission? Now, it was much easier when it was in a book, because as a publisher to print a book and sell a book, there was included the rights to the song mm-hmm. in that book, and then there were royalties paid, a fair compensation back to the creators of the songs that we love. But with the change in technology and the transitions where churches now, you're becoming more active in making your own copies of, whether it be computer storage, projection, recording, or making your own leaflets, song lyrics, you are now a publisher.
Yeah.
And you are using assets. So how can we help you find a way to be able to honor the right of the songwriters, at the same time do what you're doing as a church? So CCLI has simply found a way to make it affordable for you. You know, when you bought a book and you say a book was hit $10 and you have a congregation of 100, so you buy 100 books and $10, so there's $1,000 you put out, and then there was the permission and royalty payments of songwriters. But how do you do that now? And when we started, churches were singing maybe 40, 45 songs a year.
Right.
Now they're singing 120 songs a year, yeah, and more songs.
It's amazing.
So we found that how can we help you as a church to be able to make this thing simple, affordable, and legal? And that's what the church copyright license does. We provide the clearance ahead of time, the permission, for a very affordable fee. So a church under 100 size, it's about $100. That
yeah.
was it
yeah.
per year. So you're able to now do what you wanted to do, and to be able to honor those who have made those songs that you were just so enjoying. And that's yeah. the real simplicity of it.
Well, you've mentioned the second benefactor, that certainly the church benefits, but the church can also benefit if they're creating original content, because then CCLI yes. is standing in that same position to help their content find its way in other places. So you are an aggregator of permission.
Yes.
But often, too, you're an aggregator of resources where churches can find. And that leads us to talk a little bit about a resource aspect of CCLI, mm-hmm. the part that's called Song Select. So
right.
give us just a little bit about what Song Select is.
Well, for example, 80% of the churches in America are under 200 in size. And a lot of the music activities, it's volunteer, it's short-term, part-term, maybe not totally proficient in a lot of the expertise of music, but it was how do I find something in a lead sheet format or lyrics, or how do I know the accurate information? We found churches were asking, how do we find a place where we could work together with publishers and get this material? So we put together a program, online digital download program called Song Select, where the songs that are covered in the church copyright license, you can have access to, pay an annual fee. You can choose which program, mm-hmm. but then you're able to get the lead sheets or the vocal sheets or the chord charts or lyrics and know that they are correct, the ownership's correct,
sure.
and be able to download those and use those. And so that's how the program started. Again, these are the songs that are owned by the publishers. CCLI does not own the songs in Song Select. Right. They're owned by the publishers. But it was another way to be able to help churches have actually resources now along with the license.
And as CCLI has continued to develop and churches were taking advantage of the license and taking advantage of Song Select, there were other needs that have arisen mm-hmm. in the church that CCLI, and that's the thing I know about your organization being in those advisory board meetings, is you don't ask the question, what could we figure out to sell the church? The question I see you guys answering over and over and over is, what does the church need?
Exactly.
And your churches that you work with tell you that. And so there have been some other things that have arisen because of the modern way churches are doing music ministry. Mm-hmm. Give us a couple of those. I've got them in my mind, but,
exactly.
but tell us the other things.
Technology has made it's a wonderful, wonderful mm-hmm. Tool to be for churches to be able to communicate, not just to congregation, but to community. And so with technology, 85, 90% of churches have websites. And it was, well, then how can we make our worship services available to shut-in ministry or those mm-hmm. that are not able to attend. And so there is a need. One of the rights involved with song ownership is streaming or performance components online. And so we put together a license called the Church Streaming License to help churches who are wanting to make their worship services available online. And so we are able to set that up so a church can now have the permission and coverage for their worship service that they stream online. That was one of the programs. Another program was, well, churches are getting products or resources, but we got our worship team, and how do we proliferate materials, recordings, so the churches can, the music team can mm-hmm. hear or listen to songs. So we put together a rehearsal license, which allows second-generation copying now of masters so that your worship team can listen, hear, have access to really just to help the church music ministry work better.
Yeah. Well, and it's not that these permissions couldn't be acquired any other way, but right. you've found a way to do it in a way that makes it easy for the church, because the church, as you know, doesn't have an office of copyright clearance.
Exactly.
And publishers, by the way, are benefited because publishers don't have the capacity to take every phone call from every church that could possibly have a usage for their songs. So you have found, you have become this place in the middle that can aggregate all of these aspects of the usage of the song and find ways for the church to do it legally. Now, I want to make a point of clarification in case there is a pastor out there, and we've thrown out some terms. We've thrown out, you know, streaming and video and rehearsal license and all, and he's out there going, what are they talking about? I can't even read music. I think it's important. The reason these other licenses have come about to address what might have been a gap in that original license that mm-hmm. virtually every church that does any kind of lyric reproduction, whether it be visually on a wall or if it's printed in a bulletin,
right.
Any kind of song reproduction, that first license they would get is the copyright license. The church copyright yeah. license. But here's one of the things that I run into, and this is, you could be helpful, I think, to some churches, because many churches have that license already, but I've also found many churches misunderstand what that covers and what it doesn't cover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why these other licenses have come along, to try to address some of those gaps. So in the most concise way you can, I know this is a huge question. People are in Washington, D.C. trying to figure out copyright law, so we don't consider ourselves necessarily any experts mm-hmm. beyond the legal interpretations. I mean, congressmen are arguing over some of the aspects of copyright,
right.
so it makes it even more confusing. But in the simplest way you can, what does that CCL, that church copyright license, cover, and what are the big things that sometimes churches thinks it cover, but it really doesn't?
Right, that's a great question, Mike, and it is really simply having a little form to you just ask yourself questions. And for example, does your church use computer projection mm-hmm. of lyrics or songs for the congregation to sing? If the answer is yes, then the church copyright license covers that, gives
yeah.
you the permission. Does your church make bulletin inserts with the lyrics or hand out song leaflets for the congregation to sing? If your answer is yes, the church copyright license covers that. Does your church make recordings of your worship service for tape ministries? If you do that, the answer is yes. The church copyright license covers that. So if you are making copies of song, whether it be in print or projection or using digital ways to convey songs, the church copyright license gives you that permission ahead of time so that you're able to engage in those types of activities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here's where the rub can come in mm-hmm. sometimes. If a church assumes because they have a copyright license with CCLI that they can make their new album and sell it in the foyer and say, but we've got a CCLI license, that would be a nightmare for you to think about, wouldn't it?
Oh, it's confusing too. But we do have, for those type of questions, a church, we have a customer service department. Any question that a church has, they can call us and yeah. we'll be able to help clarify that. So if a church is wanting to make, got a great group and worship band, and they want to put together a recording, that is totally separate because that's called a commercial event.
Exactly.
You want to be able to sell a CD or when there's a commercial event, then that entails another permission that you need to go directly to the copyright owner on.
Yeah. Well, I guess the simplest way to say it would be for the general worship purposes of a church's ministry, the church copyright license covers practically all of what a church would want to do in a worship leading experience, even if it was to provide a recording of the service for a shut-in, would cover that. If it's something that's happening outside the walls that has a commercial aspect to it, the CCLI license, the original one, would not be adequate for that. So I guess the question, again, and we need to, I'm going to go ahead, Tim Hennings, our producer, I'm going to say this on the air. When we publish this podcast, let's put some of those links to CCLI to help people to know how they could get in touch directly with them and be able to answer those questions.
Great.
And your staff would answer those questions. All right, so now I want to go this way. I want to back out just a little bit and talk about when you think about CCLI's impact, the penetration of the CCLI license has been significant in North America. And every church I know that I've ever been a part of, CCLI license, yeah, I've got that. I think people would be surprised how many churches still don't have this license.
Oh, yes. Just in the United States, well over 300,000 churches that are in the U.S. In the U.S., we have half of those churches. There's half of just the church base in the United States that may not even be aware.
And that's shocking. I mean,
shocking.
28 years, 29 years later.
Exactly.
And telling the story, and it's remarkable. There are many, many thousands of churches that have found this resource and are doing the legal things.
Yeah.
But almost as many more.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of, like, new pastors, the turnover in music team involvement that just discovering these things for the first time. And funny little story, I think it was in our 22nd year, we actually got an application in from the very first brochure that we printed in 1988. That church held that brochure for 22 years and finally decided, thank you.
Somebody was cleaning out a closet in that church and they found something. I hope it wasn't one of the ones I was serving. But anyway, oh my goodness. Well, but here's the point. I want to make a point, and I want to say this. I want to say this to you, pastor, or to you, music leader. It's a matter of stewardship. If you're a leader, it's a matter of stewardship. And you are using resources that are actually owned by other people. And I don't think it's the right answer. I don't think it's an adequate answer for a church leader to say, I just didn't know.
Yeah.
What I want to say to you pastors out there, you worship leaders out there, it is your responsibility to know. And maybe you're hearing about this. You might have heard of a CCLI license before, or you've been to an event and you've seen that CCLI number and wondered, what is that? And now today, maybe you're learning something you didn't know before. I want to challenge you to understand it is your responsibility to know this. And people here at Lifeway, we don't consider ourselves to be copyright experts, but we do live in this space. And we are here to help any church navigate these waters ourselves, to give any kind of counsel or advice that we're capable of with what we know. I know your staff stands ready to do that from a CCLI standpoint, but I want to challenge our church leaders to understand that they are responsible for this, what they're stewarding here. They can't play that I didn't know card and be the steward I believe God has us to be as leaders in church ministries. We've got to know because it's our responsibility.
Right, and another part, too, with the change of technology, it's because a song's available. Because it's available, you're not entitled. There's a difference between entitlement and right.
Yeah.
An entitlement doesn't give you a right to copy an asset. A right is entitled to have a fair return for that work. And so, we referenced earlier with songs, like, well, how do I find out who owns a song? You can go. We have an online search program. You can type in Mike Harlan, and it would pull up all the songs that
please,
we have there.
Please do that.
Yeah, vote early, vote often.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I have a few songs at CCLI,
so I'm excited
about that. Or you could even type in Lifeway Worship, and you'd find a whole catalog of songs. So, hey, I want to make a couple other points here that I think are important to make, and that is that the CCLI license and CCLI exists to serve the church, to serve copyright well, and to make sure that happens. But I want to address a question. I'll let you chase it first, and then I've got something I want to say about it. Mm-hmm. What about that person out there that has this attitude? Well, you know, it's all the Lord's, and songwriters should, when they write a song, they should understand that churches like ours, we're doing this for the Lord. We're on the same team. Why it shouldn't be that important that writers that are writing Christian songs be paid for them. Mm. They're doing it as the ministry to the Lord. And I mean, you see the train of thought I'm going.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing this for the Lord. We shouldn't have to pay for it.
Yeah. Pastor, are you pastoring without getting paid? Mm-hmm. How do you put food on your table? I mean, it's the word of God you're sharing. Mm-hmm. So why are you getting paid for that? Mm. And the Bible does say, don't muzzle the ox that treads the corn.
Yeah.
You know, it is the laborer is worthy of his hire. So I think it's more of understanding that a song is a ministry, just like speaking a word. It happens to have an expression that every week, the only institution in the world is the church, where people come together to express adoration in song. And so if that pastor or that staff person at your church is not getting paid, then I'd go, okay, then don't. But if you're getting paid to speak the word, why not honor those that are ministering the same way in song?
That's well said. And I'll say this. This is a pretty interesting thing that I heard yesterday in our meeting. Malcolm Hawker, who's your current president of CCLI, a brother from Australia. I just like to hear him talk, you know, because I don't sound like I'm from Australia. But anyway,
he says it's a heavenly language.
Exactly. He's a brilliant guy, and he's now president of CCLI,
yes,
and you're working directly with him. Malcolm said this yesterday in a meeting. The by far largest live music in the world, you might think, well, it's all the clubs, it's all the bandstands and stages and concert halls. Not so. The church is the largest live music stage in the world. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing even really close to that.
That is correct.
But here was the comment I would make about that is, and this is an observation I'll make as a publisher, it's important that creatives be compensated for their creativity. And the reason that's important, in so doing, it enables the creativity to be better and better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
If the creatives cannot feed themselves by being creative, then their creativity becomes a secondary thing to them. They're working on cars during the day, or are working at Starbucks or doing something during the day. Their creativity then becomes a secondary thing or tertiary thing. And in so doing, they can't even focus all of their creativity on being great at it. I have found the diminishing monetization of royalty has had a detrimental effect to the song of faith.
Oh, yes.
Because the ones who can craft and be awesome at it and work at it all day long and tweak it and rewrite it and make it better and better and better and better can no longer afford to do that if they're not paid to do it or if they can't feed themselves doing it.
Yeah. Mike, we have some incredible stories that come back to us from writers. What has happened when churches have been able to honor their work. The author of Give Thanks, Henry Smith, an example. Because churches honored his work, he was able to establish a ministry for the blind.
Wow.
For the work of the song I Exalt Thee, Pete Sanchez, honoring, you were able to support his ministry to Mexico. For the song way back, Ah Lord God, Kay Chance, her missionary work in Germany. This is ministry. As a song, a writer, it's the expression out of a heart to be able to touch people's lives. And I think one of the greatest joys we have is being able to see that churches said, you know something, it's worth doing that. How much is my integrity worth to try to steal a song?
Yeah.
This is a blessing, not just to help the church comply with copyright law, but as you said, to release this incredible power of song around the world for those that they've been called to be able to write songs.
Yeah, I love the way you just said that. I'm going to steal that. When we do the right thing with copyright, we're actually honoring
Yes.
The people that have given us the songs that we're singing and the resources that we use from their creativity, from their own experience with the Lord. Isn't that what the New Testament church did with Paul? Mm-hmm. They took up offerings that followed him all over his missionary journeys. And yes, he did have to stop and make a tent every once in a while. But Paul was able to focus on the mission because he had churches that were honoring his work. I understood this. I heard a pastor say this to me years ago when I was first starting out on a church staff. He said, Mike, the church doesn't pay you to do what you do. Don't ever think that. Hmm. The church pays you so that you can do what you do.
That's great.
And I've always thought, you know, I'm not just a hireling that's trying to only put bread on the table, but the church has relieved that responsibility, or at least that pursuit as a head of household for me, and freed me to use all of my energy in ministry. So they pay me so that I can do it. They don't pay me to do it. And when we honor creatives by doing the right thing in copyright, we actually are freeing them to do even more and do even better. And in the cases you mentioned and many others that you didn't, we're actually funding ministries. We're doing the same thing the Corinthian church did for Paul.
Exactly.
When we're doing the right thing by songwriters and copyright. We could talk all day.
Mm.
But I love you, Howard. I've seen your heart behind this mission. God has honored it so much. And we want to say to all you church leaders out there, research this for yourself if you need to. Reach out to CCLI or to us or any other person that you know that you have confidence in that could help you navigate this. But understand that the church being compliant in copyright is so critically important so that their ministry will be unhindered and that the song of faith can go around the world and honor the people that are creating it. Thank you for spending time
with
us today.
Thank you for what you are doing in your ministry. It's powerful. What a difference you guys are making as well.
Thank you, Howard.
It's a joy to partner together with you.
Okay, Howard's going to slip out of here. He's got to get to the airport, and I'm right behind him, by the way. And Brian, this was a fascinating conversation. And Brian, you're part of CMPA, so you've been around Howard. You've had many conversations with him and the other folks there. Give us your two cents worth as you were thinking and listening to us talk about this.
Mike, honestly, I can't think of an organization that has done more to make it easy for the church to legally do what they need to do to honor songwriters and creatives. No organization that has done more to make it easy for the church than CCLI. And what a gift they have been, not just to the Church of America, the church around the world, and they continue to grow the ways that they serve the church. Mike, we talk at this point as we're closing the podcast every time. We encourage our listeners to share it, to like it, to do the things that'll make people be able to find the content that we create here. Yeah. That we hope is helpful to ministers and music and worship leaders. Today, more than ever, there are people that you know. There are churches. Howard said half the churches in America do not have, frankly, the legal protection that they need. This is the kind of thing that could shut your church down. If you don't have the legal protection that you need, you can't do ministry. And Howard and the folks at CCLI have provided a simple way for you to do it, a very, very low-cost way for you to do it, to be legal, to keep your doors, to do the right thing, and to be able to continue to do ministry. So please, as you're listening to this podcast today, even if you already knew all of this, share it. Even the likes and the comments that you put, there are tools like the Apple iTunes, and your commenting and your liking makes this podcast more visible, and more churches can find the information that they need to support songwriters and ministries and to keep their ministry going. So I'm just so grateful that Howard was here, so grateful for the ministry as a worship leader myself. And I've tried to explain to my pastor sometimes why we need some of these licenses and permissions. Howard's done it so well, and they're just such a fantastic reach. Mike, he talked just briefly about the ability to share the tracks and things with your praise team through certain tools like Planet Center Online, whatever you might use, and they came along with a license for that. And as technology continues to expand, CCLI continues to expand the ways that they help, and what a great partner they are for the church.
It's great to have Howard here today.
Absolutely. Listen, thank you for listening today to the Worship Live podcast with Mike Harlan. Thank you for those of you who listen every week and share it with other folks. We are called here at Lifeway to serve churches in their mission of making disciples. We're here for you. And so keep writing us, worship@lifeway.com. We thank you so much for your comments, for your feedback, and for your suggestions. This topic, many of you wrote and said you wanted to know more about the correct way to handle your copyright issues in your church, and that's why we were able to have Howard here today. So continue to write to us, send prayer requests. We pray for you every week right here in downtown Nashville. We're praying for your church all the time. Let us know how we can do that specifically. And join us here next time for the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. Until then, God bless you. We're praying for you.